Tonight, God has led me to speak on a very specific subject, one that by the title may seem impossible. Some may think it odd. Some may think it unnecessary, but it's necessary. The title tonight is Raising the Dead Around Me. Raising the Dead Around Me. Pastor Raspberry has been preaching through the book of Luke recently, and if this morning was any indication, he's done a very good job. So I'm not going to re-preach his message. I couldn't if I tried, but we will be in Luke 7, Luke chapter 7. We'll begin in verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And at this point, if you've been paying attention to Brother Raspberry's sermons, you should probably know the general context of this passage. Jesus recently called his 12 disciples, part of their training, the Sermon on the Plain, and then they had just been witness to such miracles as the healing of the centurion servant and some others, as well as innumerable various healings and all. As amazed as they might have been at those kinds of things, this right here, this is even greater. This is bigger. But before we get into that, I do want to say, you can learn a lot of life lessons while door knocking with your pastor. Some naturally are more embarrassing than others. I've obviously, as Pastor said, I've interned under various pastors and grew up in various churches. One time I was door knocking with my pastor back in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, and he taught me a lot of practical things on door knocking. One time we were out visiting and he decided to show me something. And he pointed at a plant and he called it by its very specific name. And he said, if you know the specific name of a plant, of a person's plants, you can always have some sort of conversation with them. That makes sense, I guess. So, like any good pastor, he showed me the right thing to do, and then he asked me to do it, and I was terrified. So, it went something like this. What's that? That's a plant. That's a flower? What kind of flower? That's a really nice flower. I really don't know much about flowers. But I learned something else that's a lot more important. I learned when you walk up to someone's house, be observant. But I also learned, the more I looked, the more I observed, that sometimes that can break your heart. Maybe, different neighborhoods are better than others, but in some neighborhoods you might see the beer bottles strewn out in the yard, or the cigarette butts there in the ashtray. You might see various things, a house broken down, or a car that probably doesn't work. You see evidence of things. You see evidence of lives not lived right, lives wrecked by sin, lives covered by that. And if you look closely, if you have a tender heart, then it can get to you. But door knocking is not the only time you see that, of course. When traveling this whole world, followers of God encounter those who bear the consequences of sin. Life brings us into contact with the messed up, the lazy, the ignorant, the corrupt. Sometimes we hate that. I do sometimes. Sometimes I judge them for what they do. I think, come on, get your life together. Come on, man. And pick up after yourself or quit. Don't you know what that's doing to you? We balk at the smell of cigarettes and hope that won't cling to us at the next house. We're repulsed by the foul language of a coworker and kind of ignore him. We don't want to be near the gay or lesbian manager. Just don't want to touch them or be near them. Or maybe that cashier at Walmart that is going so slowly, you want to slowly strangle them. People frustrate you. I hope maybe you don't struggle with that. I do. But that's an evidence of pride. We suffer from our own pride. And we don't stop to realize there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, and the Holy Spirit has a way of reminding us of that. We call ourselves Christians, but the attitude's not really Christ-like, as we see here. Because Christ, when he and his followers, they showed up to Nain, they saw a funeral. Sad time, certainly. You know, the city's about 20 miles from Capernaum, or Pastor pronounces it differently, I'm sorry. Capernaum, where Jesus was the day before. It's a fairly large city, but only mentioned here. The name of Nain means beautiful or pleasantness, but that's kind of the opposite of the scene. The man had just died, his already widowed mother was right there behind him. The double death, her husband at some point, now her son, would leave her without a source of income or protection or any chance at a normal life. As a widow, she couldn't provide for herself. But for the woman without hope, there was a Savior. And Jesus has compassion on all those that suffer from the consequences of sin. Compassion is, according to Webster's, a suffering with another, or a painful sympathy. I like that one myself. Compassion is a mixed passion, compounded, made of love and sorrow. That's what Jesus had. And he was about to work a miracle, and he used two words to set the scene. Fear not. No matter how hopeless it looked, fear not. But why? Hope in Christ is a sure thing. It's not a wishful thing, it's a sure thing. And all it took was Christ walking over and a single touch and a few words, and the impossible happened. The impossible. Her whole livelihood was ruined, but it took a few words and a touch, and it was made new. Like a circus lion trainer, Jesus Christ confidently walked up to the fearsome beast of death, and it obeyed him with nary a whimper. He had new life. She had someone to care for her. They had hope. Their lives were transformed by Jesus. But you know what? God's power doesn't end there. Christ's power compassionately turns back the power and consequence of sin, even in our lives. We call this miracle being born again, because we were dead in our sins, but now we're born again. You know, death, physical death at least, it's the physical result of a spiritual problem, sin. You know, for the wages of sin is death, or wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But we who were dead in trespasses and sins are now raised to new life. We couldn't raise ourselves, our dead souls, our being dead in sin, we couldn't raise ourselves any more than this widow could raise her son, but Christ did, and Christ can. Christ broke the death grip of sin because he had compassion on those that suffer from its hold. If you don't remember anything else, if you don't write down anything else, maybe that's the thing to write down tonight. Christ broke the death grip of sin because he had compassion on those that suffer from its hold. He reached down, He touched our souls, and He gave us the gift of eternal life. Seeing our sorrow, seeing our suffering, He still reached down, He had compassion, and He saved us. Oh, but His compassion doesn't end there either. No, not at all. Because Christ's life-giving power, it awed those that witnessed it, causing them to testify of it throughout the whole region. You know, when our favorite football team wins the championship, do we sit over, you know, they just scored the winning touchdown, we just sit over there, oh, that's nice. That's, yeah. No, not really. Probably not. We go screaming around, yeah, they won! Just like, maybe not just like that, but kind of like that. But we're happy. It's good news. It's wonderful. Or maybe, you know, your favorite movie star just came out with a new movie and it's really cool and it looks awesome. You can't wait to go see it. Why? That's good news. For you, maybe. But we see the change also that good news makes. That doing things the right way makes. You see, I'm the kind of guy that likes sticking my nose in other people's business all in the name of being helpful, whether they like it or not. So, I work at Subway, which really isn't that glamorous of a job, but hey, it pays the bills. Tastes decent. After 4 years, maybe not. But hey, anyway. So, sometimes with my coworkers, Subway doesn't always attract the most quality of employees. So, there are times where... you're laughing because it's true. There are times maybe when the chip rack is over here and it's just about empty. And the chips are, naturally, they're all the way in the back. They're all the way over there. Well, I have coworkers that go, they get one box of chips, they haul it all the way over here, they set it down and they put those chips in there and they say, oh, okay, I need one of those. And they pick up that box and they go and they make that trip a dozen times. I'm the kind of guy that goes over, grabs a chip rack, hauls it over, hauls it to the back. It's on wheels. Come on. I wheel it over here. It's like, hey, I'm being helpful now. You can just do this and not take an hour. So I'm also the kind of guy that when my coworkers have the little bitty broom, and I'm the kind of guy that gets the big, you know, big broom. 10 minutes, not 6 hours. You know, I'm the kind of guy that likes helping people. When people are doing something inefficiently or illogically or wrong, I'm the kind of guy that comes in and says, hey, do it this way, please. But you know what? If somebody's sweeping wrong, I want to help them. If somebody's stocking the chips wrong, I want to help them. But if somebody's doing life wrong, sometimes I turn away and ignore them. What about you? To bring things full circle, you remember those people I mentioned a few minutes ago? Those that allowed sin to mar their lives, to corrupt their lives. The parents whose children are making a scene at Walmart again. The smoker whose lungs are being eaten away because of his habit. The drunk whose language could wither anything. The woman whose dress is not modest. We're repulsed by that. That uncleanness in their lives. But we should also think of the change that could come if they have Jesus in their lives. If he met Jesus, he wouldn't use those words anymore. If she met Jesus, she wouldn't dress like that anymore. If they met Jesus, they would take care of their lives, they would take care of their kids, they would take care of things if they met Jesus. You know, if you have a thermos, or if your friend's thermos doesn't really keep ice very well, you know, you make fun of them first, because that's the most important thing. You make fun of them first, and then you tell them, hey, you know, I have this fancy thermos, you know, this is the brand, go buy it. It'll keep your ice cool. Or maybe if your buddy's car breaks down, you point them out to the mechanic that did you well. But if a man's life is ruled by sin, and you can tell his soul is anything but alive and well, do you point him to the one that changed you? Let us reach out to them with the hope that's in Christ. Let's show them the way to healing, to peace, and to joy. Of course, you say, well, they don't see their need. They don't. They think they're great. They're fine. Now, on Teen Soul Winning today, we actually went to a pretty decent-looking neighborhood. It was kind of clean, not all the yards were mowed, but most of them were mowed, and it looked pretty picked up, and we talked to people that kind of have their lives together. Well, that's on the outside. And on the inside, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. We should tell them of that. They won't know unless we do tell them. So we tell them. What happens if they don't listen? Oh, where is it? Matthew 9, it says, Jesus speaking, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But if you go and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." If they won't hear, if they won't listen, we tell them the truth. But, you know, there's no repentance if they won't admit. You have to get someone lost before they can be saved. If they're not going to listen, preach to another. But keep preaching. Keep preaching to all. The resurrection here, it awed the crowd. And they publicly glorified God all through the region. How excited are we to spread the news of spiritual life? Pretty excited. We ought to be. We should be. We have a whole week ahead of us. A whole new week of opportunities to tell people. Co-workers or door knocking or that special door knocking week that's coming. We've got the same thing up at the college. We've got evangelism week coming up in a week and 2 weeks, month and a half. I don't know when it is. Anyway, it's coming up. Better find out. It's coming up. There are opportunities. The cashier at Walmart, anybody. So, let's remember that the effects of sin are just kind of that. They're side effects. They really shouldn't scare us off. They're like the check engine light that you've been ignoring for a while, probably. They're like check engine lights. They're indicators that something's wrong, that they need help. They need someone to come. Instead of, if there are beer bottles in the yard, maybe they feel empty, unfulfilled. They're seeking something to fill their souls. Maybe they're trying to escape the pain of their sin. We have the real thing. Let's have compassion. If the coworker is gay or lesbian, which is getting far more common than it should be, maybe they struggle with self-worth and identity because their identity is not anchored in Christ. Let's have compassion. If your neighbor cusses you out, maybe it's because he doesn't know any other response or he's been hurt by other people. Or even hurt by you. Let's have compassion. Perhaps that slow cashier at Walmart is unmotivated because she's depressed. Life just really isn't worth living for her. Let's have compassion. Make a difference. Maybe your boss is demanding and strict because he's never felt the unconditional mercy of God. Let's have compassion. Christ breaks the death grip of sin because he has compassion on those that suffer from its hold. Will you aid others in breaking free of sin? Or will you judge them without offering hope? Jesus offered hope to the widow. He offers hope to the dead around you. They're dead in their sins, but God can work through you to touch them and to bring them life. Will you offer hope to those that are around you? Will you raise the dead that are around you?